Accession number 28635, Reel 3.
Paul Ryan, Reel 3. So, how long would you have been in Hiroshima?
I think I spent one evening and then two full days.
Mm. And you would have travelled to Nagasaki by train, would
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yes, so could I ask you about that, your trip there and your impressions? You know, first of all, the city compared with Hiroshima.
Yes. Well, I arrived at night and I found a hotel which was very close to the memorial sites for the Hypo Centre. And I suppose it struck me it must be a much smaller town because it there didn't seem to be very much around where I was staying. It didn't feel like a city. And then the following morning I got up and went around the sites around the Hypo Centre and realised I was basically on the edge of the city. And we were just discussing this point that actually it was a small town in its own right called Urakami, which was where the bomb had actually exploded. And it was really a town in its own right on the edge of Nagasaki. And that was something that interested me, really, that that was a word I'd never heard, the name of that town. And that to some extent, it seemed slightly more that the whole event was somehow slightly more adopted and manipulated in some ways, that there were no ruins of buildings around the Hypo Centre, so they'd taken part of what had been the I think it was a Catholic cathedral, which had been very badly damaged some distance from the centre, and they'd taken part of the ruins and moved them and sort of reconstructed them in the park near the centre, so it created this kind of damaged architectural monument which wasn't in its original position anymore. So there was something sort of artificial about that, and also I just got the sense that the bomb hadn't exploded over Nagasaki, which was the port and the city. It had exploded over this town, Urakami, which I hadn't heard of before.
Yes, so apart from this sort of fabrication, you know, of moving a building there, a damaged building, what else was, you know, did they have a park like Hiroshima outside
yes.
the museum?
Yes, it was similar. It felt that it wasn't so well visited. I got the sense that there weren't the busloads of tourists arriving. There were some school trips inside the museum itself. It felt not only was it the second explosion, it was the second museum to some extent as well.
And was that smaller than the other?
Yes.
And the exhibits there, were they sort of, was this other Urakami, would that have been mentioned in the museum?
Well, it was really just the awareness that that's where you were, and if you looked on the map, you were in the town of Urakami. But it wasn't really highlighted in any way, no, that was where you were.
Was there, you know, much comparison with the museum in Hiroshima?
Yes, there was a lot of linking, and the archives were available in both. I mean, and that was very well organised that you had it. Just as a visitor, you could access the archive very easily. There were some, I'd noticed in Hiroshima, there was a prisoner of war whose surname was Ryan, and I'd just noticed it on the list of names, and I'd looked him up. He was an American prisoner of war who died in the explosion in Hiroshima. So I was using the archive to sort of follow that thread through to prisoners of war who died in the explosions as well.
So they did they give the same sort of effort at balance that the Hiroshima one had by, you know, saying about the Japanese part in the war and the railway? Was there any of that in the Nagasaki one?
There wasn't, actually, but it was a much smaller exhibit. They didn't have the videos that showed the footage from the Burma-Siam Railway in the same way. But there was a lot of repeated material, not particularly surprisingly, really. I suppose once you sort of gathered certain information, you look for the information which you perhaps haven't absorbed. And I think I was focusing more on the exhibits that to some extent explained the physics behind how the bombs worked, which I also didn't understand, or probably still don't understand, but I had no inkling of before. So I made some notes about how they actually work and why the second explosion wasn't so intense, that to some extent it's an unknown quantity with these, I think with these early bombs, how they will explode.
What sort of sketches did you do there?
To some extent, I thought it was interesting to make a series of drawings which related to the drawings in Hiroshima and see how they differed, and my reaction was different. So, seeing as this building had been set up for me to visit and reconstructed, I made the drawing of that in the same way that I'd drawn the A-dome in Hiroshima, but I got the sense that it wasn't genuine somehow, and I think that's reflected in the way that it's.
So you were, did you intend to manipulate their manipulation then?
Well, I think it was more a case of show that I wasn't as interested, because it felt that I was being manipulated. I didn't think there was anything real there. And I also spent some time down in the port at what is Nagasaki proper, and looked at the Dutch and the Scottish communities which are left there. It's almost like a theme park now. It's called the Glover Gardens, and you can get you go into this park and go up and look around the houses which are there, and there are sort of conveyor belts that take you from one house to the other. And that was, it seemed like Nagasaki had its own theme park. It was completely unrelated to the war. It was what had happened before the war, really, and how Japan had become industrialized. The only thing that really strongly related was something that was put across, the idea that Japan used the British Empire as some sort of model of what a successful modern country was, and that in order to emulate that, it needed its own empire. So that sort of was an interesting angle, which I hadn't thought of before.
Yes, they're sort of Northeast Asia co-prosperity sphere,
yes,
wasn't it?
That's the, right.
Yes, that is interesting, really, isn't it? Sort of relating to the war.
Yes, if you're beginning to look at possible causes, then if the British Empire is setting an example by having an empire.
Mm-hmm. So was that important to go to Nagasaki? Do you think you could have got as much out of it just going to Hiroshima?
No, it was very important. I think it sort of confirmed some of the ideas that had been growing about the work I wanted to make in the end, about how causes and views are positioned. And I think because Nagasaki was making more conscious attempts to position using these moved architectural elements. That strengthened my view that I wanted to question that in whatever I did when I got back at the War Museum, to make some something that would indicate that I was working with that.
Did you get any sense from these two, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, of who they were for, these museums and parks? You know, were they speaking to the Japanese people?
I think I got the impression Hiroshima was a more international, had a sense that it was saying something internationally, and that Nagasaki echoed that, but at the same time, it was a local, more of a local museum.
Would there have been any interview material in either with survivors?
Yes, both had screens showing recorded interviews with survivors, which I spent quite a lot of time watching.
Would they have been translated? Given
yes, they have subtitles, yeah. And one of them actually gave me the subject matter for the wall drawing, which is in the War Museum. It was an interview of a Nagasaki survivor describing how, I think it was a second-hand report of how somebody had pointed out of a window at the American bomber which had just dropped the bomb, and as he pointed out of the window, the flash went off and burnt off the hand, but as he was in a concrete building, the person survived without the hand. So although there was nothing visually representing that, I made a sort of cartoon of it in my sketchbook, of this structure with a window and a hand pointing out. And it became the, for me, I suppose, the pointing finger was something that represented the way the memorials and museums were positioning. So I used that for the wall drawing at the War Museum and called it Museum.
You called it Museum?
Museum, yeah.
And that's in the exhibition now?
Yes.
That one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with your visits between the two, it would seem that you gained an awful lot in knowledge and your work as well.
Yes, I think definitely, and also it was getting to the end of the time there, so I was spending a bit more time sitting and trying to get some sense of what the whole trip had been about. And I think I went to this Glover Garden and sat there and kept looking through the books and trying to balance things in a way so that I felt there was nothing, there was no fixed view that was being presented that I wasn't happy with, and also developed that theme of the museums and how they're positioning.
Do you take photographs at all to aid memory?
I don't normally. I did take my camera and I took some photographs, but they don't remind me of anything. They could be anybody's photographs. I have looked through them a couple of times and they bring nothing back to me at all.
So after this you went to Osaka?
Yes, I went back to Osaka, which is where my flight was leaving from, and went to the Peace Museum there on the last day. And really, I suppose that related to my views which I'd had of that kind of carpet bombing in Europe. And it differences between within Japan, the events that had happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the more conventional, what we think of as conventional bombing of a city, even though the destruction looked in some ways similar.
Yes. Did it make you You were saying earlier, when you mentioned Osaka, the difference between the museums that made you realise that although perhaps more people might have died, I don't know the figures, but I know they did in Tokyo, didn't they, by conventional bombing than at Hiroshima, that you still thought the difference was the important thing. Is that right?
Well, I think so. I think just the... I think you made the point that perhaps the Japanese were somehow presenting that as being presenting the atomic bombings as somehow important to some advantage. I think I don't go along with that. I just think that it was different, and there is something important about the effects those bombs, which it would seem short-sighted not to look at that. So I appreciated that the curators and the museum staff were working to try and present that. I thought that was a worthwhile thing to do.
At the Peace Museum in Osaka, is that related to the university?
I don't know. There were two museums. There was another museum which had been criticised for... I can't remember the name of the part of Japanese society that it referred to, but it was more political in its outlook, and it's been closed for a long period of time, and I tried to go there, but it was still closed.
It was a war, more to do with the war, was it?
It related to the war, but it also looked at Japanese society now. So I was interested in going there and seeing that, but it was closed for quite a number of years. It had a sign up.
Yes.
So I don't know which one was related to the university, if either.
Yes, the one you went to, did it have much about the kamikaze pilots? The Japanese kamikaze.
Yes, it did have some about that. I suppose by that point I think I was recapping. I wasn't really looking at Osaka as something for me to study. It was a sort of comparison and a way of looking at it in terms of an event which compared to, as I say, the information I already had about what had happened in Europe, and just looking at why it was different. But I didn't really study it as part of the work.
Yeah, did you do any sketches of Osaka?
Yes, mainly the city and skyline as it is now. I mean, I was, I suppose, struck a little bit like Hiroshima, how it was fantastic city now. So most of the drawings are of the skyline now.
Did you go to the castle?
Yes, I did go to the castle, and it seemed a sort of weekend Osaka thing to do. Yeah.
A bit of time out.
Yes, that's right, the last day.
I'm sure you deserved it by then, Paul. When one thinks of post-war Japan, one thinks very much of their constitution and Article 9, which forbids them ever to go to war again. You know, and this widespread pacifist feeling within the country. Did you come away with that feeling?
No, there was a point made in one of, I think it was the Osaka Museum, about the Japanese... it was the first time the Japanese were going to send troops. Now, I can't remember exactly what it was related to, but I think it was related to terrorism. But I'd have to look that up. And I got the sense that that was, to some extent, crumbling, that resolution.
So, summing up this visit, had you achieved all you, you know, you have explained, really, perhaps this is a silly question, that you went with such an open mind. But did you get a sense of having, you know, achieved something really solid on this trip that you could then give to the museum, you know, for your installation?
Well, I tried to go with an open mind. Of course, you never know, but I think by the time it came to installing the exhibition, I was quite clear about the things I wanted to avoid saying, and I was quite clear about what I wanted to indicate about, as I've said lots of times now, about the way things are positioned, and I think that's that comes across. And in terms of a solid set of work, I think the two books that were made were made unconsciously enough, and they were manipulated enough to do that in themselves. So I hope that, you know, after the exhibition's finished, they will continue to present that.
Mm-hmm. These are your sketchbooks that you put in, or are they other publications?
In the exhibition, there are the two sketchbooks that I made on the trip. That, as I say, contain about 140 pages.
How do people look through them?
Well, they're displayed in a case open at 2 pages, and then above the case there's a screen which flicks through all the pages, and I've set that to go quite fast so that you can't really spend time reading the whole page. That I really wanted it to give the impression of the whole book without focusing on the details. It takes about 10 minutes to watch it through.
And have you had any reaction to the installation? Because it opened October the 1st, I think, didn't it?
Yes, there seemed to be some interest in the things which I was hoping to get across. So that's to some extent satisfying. And then I think the books, I think people do fall into reading the books because they're sketchbooks in a particular way, which I suppose is what interests me in them as a medium. As I said right at the beginning, I think people somehow think that they are like a diary and therefore honest, and they think that they're getting access to views and material they wouldn't get if you'd made a series of paintings, and I hope that that gives some strength to the overall impression that's given by them. They're supplemented, the two books are supplemented by 58 sketchbooks that I've made previously over the last 20 years, and that was to link in with the rest of the exhibition captive about how, as I said at the beginning, drawing and making sketchbooks is a way of coming to terms with events. And I was very aware that, you know, I was in an exhibition where there was a lot of work made by prisoners of war in very difficult circumstances, and they'd made these drawings at some risk, that if they'd been discovered by the wrong guards, they could have been in a lot of trouble and very serious consequences. And yet they'd felt the need to make these drawings and perhaps had benefited by making them. So I wanted to follow that on as well by showing that by making sketchbooks and drawings in my life, how that's helped me, and even to the specific points of a trip like this. I mean, there was a lot done in the 2 weeks, and to some extent it was you're looking at quite vexing material for a long time, and there were lots of images which stuck in my mind, which to some extent felt like they polluted my mind, and that by redrawing them and exploring them in a sketchbook, you can come to terms with them, and then they they take a different place in your mind, and they're not so troubling.
Were you influenced by any particular artist of the time, you know, a POW? You mentioned Ronald Searle, didn't you, when you were in Thailand?
Yes. Not really. I think that Ronald Searle came to mind because he'd drawn in exactly the same spot in Hellfire Pass, I think it was, or Hammer and Tap Cutting. So I'd drawn in both those places and was aware that he'd been in the same cutting. But the work I'm most interested in Captive by the Prisoner of War artist is the very straightforward observational drawing. And I think by making those kinds of drawings, there's a sort of attempt to come to terms with the things that you're seeing. I think when it gets into making the drawings for the theatre productions or the more sort of cartoon-like drawings, that was a sort of way of entertaining and distracting, which was something I wasn't so interested in.
End of Reel 3, Paul Ryan.